We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. It's quarter number four of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're still talking Penn State, Minnesota. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're back in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're going to hear from James Franklin, some of his takes. We heard from him a little bit earlier in the show on some of the topics that we discussed then. We'll hear a little bit more from James on Penn State's 31-26 loss to Minnesota. But before that, we've got a special message. Some breaking news from our partners at DraftKings. DraftKings has launched an online sports book. It's created by sports fans for sports fans. It's now available in the state of Pennsylvania. That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has brought their expertise to legal sports betting and is already America's top-rated sports book app. They've got it all there, over-unders, player props, in-game betting as well, special odds boosts every day for the biggest games. You can download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code KSN to get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. The deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. James Franklin, listen to what he had to say about the officiating at the end of this game, Greg. We listen to what he had to say of what Minnesota did that caused Penn State problems. But I also wanted to get into some of the other ins and outs here. The things that he disagreed with, questions from the media, that's always entertaining. And maybe we'll start with the question that Dave Jones asked as a follow-up, the two-point conversion, going for that early in the game. I forget how much time was left in the third quarter. As the game unfolded, you get the feeling and you can kind of do the math that that additional point would have helped. He was asked about that, and then he was challenged by our good friend Dave Jones. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, so a couple things. For whatever reason, and we work very hard at it, we talk about all the time about being on the road, dealing with the noise, you got to have a sense of urgency. You got to get the call in faster, which I thought we did a pretty good job, and then you got to get up and run the offense, and you got to do it with a sense of urgency. And for whatever reason, we weren't doing that. I kept saying it each time we came to the sideline, and we weren't doing it. And then there we were inside the red zone, and there's so many times where I'm right there to call a timeout, and we snap it right at the last second. We didn't do it there. Obviously, after the fact, you should have called the timeout. But we were like that all day long. We didn't have a sense of urgency for whatever reason. In terms of going for two, obviously we have the 2-point chart like everybody does, and consulted the 2-point chart. It made sense to go for it. Talked to the offensive coaches, the defensive coaches, checked the chart. Felt like it was the right call in that situation. And to be honest with you, again, the way the game played out, that wouldn't have mattered.
Well, it would have mattered if you were down 11 instead of 12.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, that's that early in the game. I think Neil's question is, why go for two with 19 minutes to go before you really know what's going to happen later in the game?
Yeah, it's always this situation. If it works, everybody thinks it's good call. If it doesn't work, but I told you, we checked the book. The book says go for it. I talked to the offensive coaches. I talked to the defensive coaches. We all agreed. Wouldn't have played out at the end. You don't like it, so you ask me again, but I think I've already answered the question clearly.
So he was pushed a little bit. Like we got a lot more from James as far as, you know, the urgency, you know, related to the delay of game penalty, and then obviously the 2-point conversion midway through the third quarter. It's fair to push back against that. And he explained a little bit about how the process goes. Everybody's got the card that says in certain game situations, based on probabilities and all that stuff, when it makes sense to go for it. Consulted the card, consulted the other coaches, decided to go for it. I think, I don't know if I would call it a cop out, but to say like, whichever way I would have gone, if it works, I'm a genius. If I'm wrong, it's not. It's fair to question that. And midway through the third quarter, it's fair to say, get every point you can until the game actually takes shape. And I think this is a situation where, you know, Dave and his upfrontness is an asset, because I think you need to make James Franklin explain that a little bit better. I don't know if we got any better explanation, but he needed to be challenged, I thought, on that point.
Yeah, so, you know, the 2-point chart that most people use is the one that Dick Vermeil developed. And it does say with 5 points, you know, trailing by five, and this is just, it's not time specific related or anything like that. It doesn't, you know, the one that's available online doesn't have, you know, the time specific details and everything else. I'm sure Penn State and every other school across the country and NFL program has, you know, more time specific detailed information. But, you know, the chart as it is in the public forum now says if you trail by five, you go for two. And that's what they were using as the reason for doing so. I mean, these charts just don't come out of thin air. You know, they have long statistical tails to prove their point. But, you know, to chase points in that situation, the thing that we talked about earlier was that Penn State struggles sometimes inside of the 5-yard line. And, you know, there's times when if it's at the 5, it'll run up the middle to get to the 2, up to the, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, how many plays do you think they have that they're comfortable with from a 2-point perspective? And do you really want to use one of those there? Do you feel that good about it? You know, they threw it a 3-on-2. I mean, I think if it was Slade that caught it, if I'm not mistaken, you know.
Not
if
he a goes, great read on
he
that
He goes
play,
inside instead of outside. Right. It probably gets in. And, yeah, we're not talking about that decision at that point, because they're only down by 3 and right where they want to be. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad he explained it. You know, he's not wrong about the fact that, you know, you're a genius if it gets it, and you're, you know, seen as not a genius if you don't. But at the same time, James Franklin has made some head-scratching in-game strategy decisions before. So to ask for this one to be explained, I certainly don't think is any kind of reach.
I think that's a good point about, you know, the history and Penn State fans wanting and needing an explanation, maybe more so from him than some other guys who are better known as being strong X's and O's and game day management type guys. I wanted, so we talked about Penn State's defense and really got into the secondary. We touched on the pass rush a little bit, but I wanted to bring James Franklin's point on the pass rush and why that was so ineffective. Here's what he had to say about that rush, just not getting home, Minnesota getting the ball out quick, and how that worked against Penn State.
Again, guys, they very rarely threw the ball in a traditional throwing game. They weren't dropping back and throwing the ball. I have to go back and look at the tape, and I bet you out of the throws that he threw, 75% of them were RPOs, one man read ball coming out. You don't get sacks on them. You cover the ball and you get incompletions. If they have to hold the ball, then you get linemen downfield, and every once in a while you get a sack. But and with that style and allowing them to stay on schedule, you're not going to get sacks. In the second half, we got them off schedule. We did. They had some penalties that got them off schedule, and then we were able to do some different things. But we weren't able to get them off schedule because they had so much success on early downs.
James,
why couldn't Penn State get Minnesota off schedule? I mean, that's they did something that Penn State wasn't really ready for, but at the same time, wasn't wildly out of character either for this Minnesota team. I think what they showed on film is who they were, but with a couple wrinkles. And I guess I'm just not buying that those couple wrinkles should pave the way for that offense to do whatever they want for 35 to 40 minutes in this game.
I think it's simply that the safeties didn't play well, the corners didn't play well, and because of that, Minnesota, I mean, how many times did Tanner Morgan not even, you know, we're talking about getting the ball out quickly. That's because the receivers are either getting a free release at the line of scrimmage and getting in the open space immediately, or they're, you know, one of the Tanner Morgan's options, and he's very good at quickly scanning the field and finding them, was coming open. So, you know, you look at it, Penn State stopped Minnesota on 6 of their 10 third down attempts, but they had 20 first downs. Comparatively, Penn State was 8 of 16 on third down, 1 of 2 on fourth down, but they had 25 first downs. So, I mean, you know, this game comes back to, in a lot of ways, that Penn State did not execute well enough to win. That's just, there's no... Vince Lombardi or a rocket scientist or anything else to figure this one out. Minnesota had a game plan. Penn State had an extra week to prepare for it. Minnesota had an extra week to prepare for what Penn State's game plan was. And guess what? Minnesota did a better job of putting their plan of attack together and putting their defense. Keep in mind, they were missing two linebackers on defense, and they didn't cover a whole heck of a lot better than Penn State. You know, there's questions about that defense as well. But guess what? They came up with the turnovers. Penn State did not when it mattered most. And, you know, we talk a lot about the winning stats or the losing stats. I mean, it's turnover margin. It's big plays, and Minnesota hit on a few more of them than Penn State did. And, you know, the Lions ultimately ended up with the ball for 31 minutes compared to Minnesota's 28. So it's hard to even sit back and say that, you know, Minnesota's time possession and clock control is the reason they won this game. No, it's just Penn State was not as good as it needed to be on this day. It's simple as that. And that allowed Minnesota to have the ball and score enough times to win.
Imagine for a second, by the way, this is neither here nor there, if Penn State had a playmaking safety in their secondary in the mold of Antoine Winfield Jr. You know, that's one of the missing pieces of this defense, I think, since James Franklin got here. And that's no disrespect to Garrett Taylor and Lamont Wade and Jonathan Sutherland and Jaquan Brisker. These guys are all pretty good players, but Antoine Winfield is a game changer, and he's got 7 interceptions this year, 2 against Penn State. There's one guy on this defense where you can say, let's stay away from him. But it's easier said than done whenever you're talking about a safety whose job is to pretty much roam the entire field. You know, with his ball skills and instincts and his ability to create game-changing plays, it's just something that, you know, kind of shines a spotlight on something that Penn State has lacked for the last 6 years.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, it goes back to recruiting. That's what it always does, right? You know, you can get all the 4 and 5 stars in the world, you know, but if there's a position or two that's lacking in that area, and I'm not saying Penn State safety recruiting's lacking, but, you know, they don't have a guy like a Marcus Allen back there, or even a Nick Scott, quite frankly, who you can necessarily rely on is, you know, maybe Garrett Taylor you can rely on in that regard in the run game. But who do you trust? Who do you want to, I mean, I thought Lamont Wade had a pretty good season, but.
And who's making special plays when the ball is in
right, there? And it felt like Minnesota avoided Lamont Wade, did it not? I mean, I'll have to go back and watch the full thing a little bit more closely, but it felt to me like they were picking on the side that had either Garrett Taylor or Jonathan Sutherland out there, and there really wasn't. It didn't feel like they were doing anything all that special, did it? I mean, they were literally waiting to see which guy would be open down the sideline if the safety was late coming over, and play action, open, 30 yards to play. And that's what lost Penn State this game.
Not quite 30. I mean, per completion was a high number, 17 almost yards per attempt. Not good enough for Penn State. We'll see what happens with Indiana coming. Thanks for now for tuning in to this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to check us out on the Keystone Sports app. We'll see you next time.
Breaking news, DraftKings has launched America's top-rated sportsbook app in Pennsylvania. Download the top-rated DraftKings sportsbook app and sign up with code KSN. For a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code KSN. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See website for details. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.